believe Slime Life Records is finally releasing the top grunge hits of musky fishing.
Who can forget?
It's unbelievable. This compilation kicks off with a mega hit from Slob Garden.
Oh yeah, the day I tried to jig.
Jay, these songs are very grungy.
Steve, do you remember back when Elmer had his grunge band?
I do.
Elmer in Chains?
Oh my goodness. Didn't they have that song called Fishing Wood?
No, it was most people remember it as Into the Slop Again.
This is feel-good music for me. Who could forget one of the biggest duets of the grunge era from the band Temple of the Bulldog?
And their smash hit, Musky Hunger Strike.
I don't mind trolling line, as long as they get some slime.
They're not biting, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I keep trolling Power Pro with my giant baits in tow.
They're not biting.
Oh no. Had the bond cooking with a pike of
Jay, these songs are absolutely amazing, and man, they make you feel good. But sometimes you need to get down in a musky hole. Do you have anything sadder?
Oh, sadder? Can you believe this? How about Jake Smitty Smith and the Good Time Gospel Gang? Right before they changed their name to Nirvana, but spelled it with a PH, not a V for obvious reasons.
Oh, their song Trollin's kinda lame.
It's okay to eat pike, cause they don't have any
unbelievable collection of grunge hits. All the best grunge hits of musky fishing in one collection from Slime Life Records. Come on, Steve. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
These songs make me feel sad.
I need the money. Sad, I don't care. This is about humanity and muskies.
Is this about your gambling debts again?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
I am strapped.
Please.
Folks, welcome to the very grungy Musky 360 podcast, Jay Bird.
Something in the way.
I'm on heroin again.
Hey, Steve. Steve, is that you?
It's so hard to troll when you're on the edge. Anyway,
it is.
My throat is torn up from screaming
them,
yeah,
them Chris Cornell songs. And
not easy, not easy, boys.
It's not easy to butcher things you like. So it's like it's like taking your favorite dog out back that's still healthy and shooting him in the head. That's what it was like.
Think about someone tuning in for the first time. They're gonna be like, what is this?
Did you just was that a Billie Eilish song you just did?
With more sub bass? Yeah, that's right in there. Sure.
Jay's a bad guy. Feel anyway. Nonetheless, we had our turkey hangover. We're a day late because I had to get people out of my house, Jay.
Kick them out while the kicking's good.
My filthy mother was here for days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jay went down to his family's house.
Yep.
I texted Jay, and they broke the news to him this year, finally, that they don't
love
him anymore.
Yeah, nice text while I was sitting there talking with my dad. Thanks a lot. I thought you sent it to the wrong person. He's like, I'm so sorry to hear about your family. And I'm like, oh, no, something bad happened to somebody, and he texted the wrong guy. That was my first thought.
Well, hold on. Let me read it, guys. This is – if you don't think me and Jay are – hold on. Let me read this to you.
A little bit odd.
All right, Jay, get your phone out. Right before I sent you that Joe Walsh song that we can never play.
Which I haven't even looked at, because if you text me something, I generally just ignore it.
So Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, at 4:17. Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear about the bad news today with your family. Jay texts back immediately. Huh? What? I text back. My bad. I guess they're waiting until after dinner to break the news that they don't love you anymore. Sorry to spoil the surprise.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Cruel but fair, folks.
I told my dad, and he just shook his head, and he goes, oh, that's funny.
Jay was like, Dad, he's picking on me again. Tell him to stop picking on me. Anyway.
Yeah.
Exciting new bait news.
Yeah.
Got to fish with the Muskie Innovations Quad Dog.
That's four for all those out there who don't know the metric system.
Quade.
It was a joke. Really bad.
I liked it. That's why I just wanted to let it hang. You didn't have to tell everybody it was a joke. Good jokes you didn't have to tell people, Jay.
Well, in my case, you know.
Quad Dog. Anyway. So
Quad Dog, from Muskie Innovations, coming out soon.
Here's my straight take, and I'm gonna tell you guys, we're doing a different kind of episode this week where we're going to break down our personal top three everything gear.
Yep.
This time of year, we get so many, what would you, should I buy? What do you think's, right? A lot of you are going to get gifts. A lot of you are buying for yourself. You're buying for somebody else. You're getting geared up for next year. It is opinion based. If I like something and you don't like it, sorry. If I don't like something and you love it, sorry. If you make it and I don't like it, sorry. It's just opinion, right? And opinions are like bucktails. Everybody's got one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you should.
You know, you should.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Quad Dog. My opinion needs more tails, Jay. Jeez. Hey, here's what I'm going to tell you about this bait so far. You look at the pictures of this bait, and you go, okay, it's a quad tail, four tail, kind of toothy, tough, bulldog, Medusa, like it's an amalgam of everything. Shocked at how thin the body is. Right. So if you have it in your hands, you'll go, the body is not that thick. I mean, don't quote me on this. I'm holding fingers up to guess, 2.5 inches wide, maybe across the top before we hit that rim. Like there's a body, like a lip at the bottom, if you want some capacity. It's a lot thinner than I expected it to be. The tails never tangle, which is crazy. And what they've done is it has this outside lip that the body rests on, which creates, they're calling it a diving lip, and it really is. It creates resistance across the entire top of the body. So the top of the body is thinner than you think it is, right? Like the entire width of that bait is 2 bondies wide. I mean, Jay, you think the metric system's screwy? I measure everything in bondi width.
Do you?
It's very tough to do carpentry. But nonetheless, that entire bait is not that wide.
Hey, so. Jimmy, give me a 1.5 Bondi.
Right. It's
stat.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work.
It doesn't. It doesn't
translate well.
If Jimmy's a freaking jigger, he knows. But
okay.
The total body width is thinner than I expected it to be. The outside lip is 1/4 inch or whatever it might be around the outside perimeter of the body. So that creates resistance, and it's kind of like a V-shaped back. So that bait's not lunging as forward as I expected it to, in more to angular motion, right? So it's a deep running bait. It's cool. We've hooked up on it. I think if you're a deep edge fisherman, that's going to be the bait. If you're shallow water, if you're shallow weed beds, shallow rock, shallow vegetation, I don't know if that's going to be the ticket per se, but if you're scoring on tubes, that's going to be a pretty dominant bait, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different. You know, and flat out, you know, more tails better? I don't know. Running depth, running depth, running depth. You listen to this podcast, you hear me say, you know, if I could get a ham sandwich to run at 12 feet at 3.7, I can catch one on it. Right. So it's action or running depth, profile action. I don't know if it's helped by the multiple tails. I don't think it's a negative at all. I think this is a deeper running bait than most people expect. And I look at, and Jay, you said, I think there might be, and I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't know this on good authority, might be a deeper or shallower running version in the works. Who knows? The way things
go. He's toying with the idea of different versions, yes.
So, on an average cast for me, this bait was running 8 to 10. Right? Which is pull the rod 12 to 3. Pick up slack. Pull 12 to 3. You know, which is like 1. 1. Pretty deep running bait. So, I think if you need to target fish that are holding deep to cover and structure, that's going to be a ticket. It's interesting. Like I said, that's not a negative assessment. It's not a positive assessment. That's just my take so far. Fish are biting it. It's a cool bait. Don't get me wrong. So it's pretty interesting, that capacity. It'll be cool to see what people do with it. You know, it's always, when you put a bait out, it's yes, this is what I think will happen, and then it turns into something else every time. You know, there's a dude out of Canada, really nice, can't at the top of my head, I don't want to name names, but nonetheless, he's filmed with a lot of people, good dude, whatever, and he's fishing Titans. He's actually taking the tails off and putting blades on the back and all that stuff and doing crazy stuff. So what you think is going to happen versus what really happens in practice or in the real world is a different thing. So but with the quad dog, you know, where I'm going to implement that bait is a deeper edge, a deeper break, right? I don't think that's the season opener bait. I think that's, I'm on a hog hunt or I'm looking for fish that are negative or neutral. And the conditions I've been fishing in have been indicative of that, right? Negative and neutral, holding tight. So it's pretty interesting. That would be the take. Anyway, Jay, we're going to ruffle feathers.
Okay.
Right? Do you hear that 60-cycle hum, or is it just me?
Nope, it's all quiet.
Okay, folks, if you hear a hum, you got ears like a bat like I do. I apologize. So, anyway, I want to break it down, and just cover so many Q&A we've had.
Okay.
Right? What's this? What's that? What should I buy? What do I get? What do I... Right? Let's do it. Jay, I'm going to start. Top 3 reels.
Let her rip, Steve.
All right, buddy. Here would be my hot take. Top 3 reels for muskie fishing. So I don't care if you're a veteran. There's no veterans. There's no parade this year, folks. 20 years, 2 weeks. I don't care. I personally think the best all around, the get it done, the no glitz, no glamour, but it's not going to blow up, is going to be the Beast.
Abu Garcia Beast,
The Toro Beast. Yeah. You know, is it the most popular reel? No. Is it the sexiest reel? No. Does it work like a champ? Yes. Does it work when it's cold out? Yes. Does it do its job? Yeah. Can you get a fast one, a left-handy, a right-handy? Do they make parts for them readily available? That's one of my biggest things. So
Beast,
number one. That is the, like, if you said you can have one reel and you have to fish with this and you've got to make it as many days as I fish. So I don't have a closed season. I fish, obviously, Wisconsin, and I'm running up in Canada, and I'm running down here. And it's a ton of days on the water. Give me a left-handed Beast because I'm a lefty. That would be number one of, like, rubber meets the road, getting the job done, right?
Okay.
Power handle. I don't like the double handles on those. Just a personal opinion. Just the 6-3-1 Beast, I can do anything with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another reel that I'm absolutely smitten with, and everybody is, and it's a give me, is the Tranx 400, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic reel. You've got what? High gear, low gear, whatever. Let me look here. I'm pulling it up. It's 30 inches of crank or 40. 5.8 to a 7. Give me the 5.8. I can make anything happen with that reel. Couple bucks more, I think, maybe than the Beast. What's a Beast? It's not a price comparison. $329.
They're about the same.
Yeah, $319. I've had a couple problems out of Tranx. Again, this is opinion. This is not the opinion of anybody else other than Stephen, Paul, and Jay Ezzie. Not the shop, not the app, nobody. I've had a couple more hiccups out of Tranx than I have Beast. Hence the in my brain going, which one, right? I'll give the Beast the favor because I've had less problems out of Beast than I've had out of Tranx. It's a close one, but I'm there.
Okay.
Right now, absolutely in love and throwing the crap out of the TWs, though, the Lexa TWs.
Right.
It doesn't take top tier for me or my top one of my top three recommendations. It doesn't take number one because I've not spent enough time with it, right? There's a lot going on with that. So we'll see. Once I get into the cold water period where it's like things are freezing, I'm almost there. Trust me, this morning it was cold and this evening it was cold. I'm throwing one right now. Feels great. Does its job. It's got that flip down bar, right? So the reel does this thing when you depress the thumb bar, the front clips down. It does some different things. Sort of too new to like hang my hat on it, right? I like it, but guess what I have in backup in my boat? I've got a Beast.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting there. It's ready to go. It's got line on it, rocking and rolling. Jay, for all the people, so we don't have to talk rods, reels, all this crap the rest of the year, your top three personal, not from the shop. I don't want to have to say this. Freaking too many people listen to this. I don't care if you make a bait or if you don't, if you make reels. It's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, and so is Jay. Jay, your top three reels you would recommend to someone if they walk up and say, Jay, what should I buy?
Yeah, and a lot of times when people do that, you're trying to fit exactly what they need. So that's why I will ask questions like, you know, what type of lures are you fishing and how do you fish them?
Mm-hmm.
And then try to suit with the, you know, line per turn, that whole deal. Not the gear ratio. Again, the gear ratio is not as important. It's because the size of the reel will determine how much line is coming in per turn. The reels you mentioned, and you've always kind of preached that you want to slow down a little bit in most cases more than want to speed up. So a lot of your gear, your reel choices are running about 30 inches per per turn, which is mid or low mid-range kind of deal. Today's age, that is.
Right.
20 years ago, that would have been a fast reel, but enough said. I'll say that your choices are, I don't want to completely overlap. I mean, the Beasts, the high-speed Beast for me would be the choice because it's 34 inches, I believe. Yeah,
I don't think you should turn. Go, like, what's the low speed's like 4.9. Probably not. I mean, if you're like, not to cut you off, but like that 4.9, if you want to eat double 10s alive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people
have torque, sure.
Yeah,
but as an all-purpose platform,
no.
I love the 34 inches right around in there. So therefore, mine, I've got two of them now. My first choice, because you already took the Beast, I would put that in the discussion, is the Pro-Rex Daiwas.
Right.
The one with a little bit of purple on it. You've got the black and gray, which if you're looking one in a shop, that's the TW, the little bit more money.
Oh, I have the purple with one as well.
The purple is so cool. But anyway, I got one in 7.1 gear ratio, and that's my line picking upping platform
rubber,
right there. It's,
yeah,
rubber tubes and stuff like that. Some bucktails. I can train myself to slow down a little bit. If I've got one rod and reel in the boat, which is usually what I do with you, I'll bring one. I'm not bringing an arsenal. Yeah. So that's what I choose, just because that's my everyday deal. And it casts so great, and I love the drag. Yeah. I mean, it's an exacting drag. You back that off a quarter turn, and you know what to expect, and it's there. Mm-hmm. It's solid. Some other manufacturers have what I call kind of grabby drags.
I'm not going to mention names. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so, I do not like that, and especially for a more inexperienced angler that doesn't fish muskies a lot. A lot of people say it's got a great drag, and that what all they're referring to is they tighten it and they pull line and they go, oh boy, look at that. It's hardly moving. I can hardly pull the line out. Yeah. But what happens when you back it off a little bit and it's still got the same amount of,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So if I back it off a little bit, it should be incrementally looser. And, as you go down the dial. So, oh, that's my choice. Let's see. There's one. I like the TW. I don't have much experience with it. I've thrown yours a little bit.
Right.
That's one I want to get, because I want to get one in 6.1. I want one a little bit slower than the Pro-Rex I already have. Let's see.
So you're
that's really my three, because I'm going Beast, I'm going the TW, and I'm going the TWS.
So it's sort of like a number one and number one are tied for the
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm super happy with my Daiwa, so that I'll go with that for my number one.
And the Beast and then the TW. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Folks, that's Jay's take. Okay. Let's just get this over with number the next one. Everyone's been asking because there's a rod sale, right?
Yeah.
Jay, myself, Jim, Tom, everybody at the shop has had some kind of input on the shield rod. We'll get that out of the way. You knew that was coming, right? Why do you like it? Why do you don't? What I like about the shield rod is when someone asks me, what rod should I buy? I'm not trying to freaking tell them to buy a $700 rod. Number one. I'll tell you what I like about it. That's it. Right? So it's not super expensive. Number two, I have fished the prototype, the first one, Jay, and you know this to be a fact, 9'6" extra heavy and 9' heavy. I still have the original prototypes before they were made. I have regular ones, and I fished the ones that you can go buy off the shelf, and they're identical, and they do not break. Right? That's it. And if I break them, I do not cry. Because price-wise, it's great. So, for me, the bang for the buck, and one thing, Jay, you know, I advocated, Tom advocated, everybody sort of advocated, big rear grip, right? Full cork, the size of everything, the diameter. It's a comfortable rod across the board. That's it. We're not going to sit here and beat the crap out of it, but dollars for donuts, I'll take it over anything. It's just one of those deals where you look at the price point. I'm about to sneeze. I put us seasonal allergies. Really, dude, the freaking thing for me is like for $249, I can get a 9'6" rod. That's it. I'm not trying to sit here and you know what I'm going to say. Everybody knew when I said rods, that was going to be it.
Free shipping, too. That's huge. Right. Shipping's expensive these days. So, yeah.
So let's go to number two and number three, right? Because I know Jay's a shield rod guy. We know it. I'm going to go, and I you know, hey, yeah, I'm cherry picking because I get to go first, I guess. Number two, if you don't like the Shield Rod, the second rod I would pick if Shield Rods did not exist. And I fished them before Shield Rods, Shimano Skicks, which is not popular at all. Nobody wants them. It is $400, $399.99. It has small guides on it. They're very heavy-duty guides. My complaint about that has a larger foregrip and larger rear grip section, right? 9 foot six rod, $399. Practically bulletproof. Double locking handle seat. I'll take that all day long, right? The next one, I guess I'm a Shimano fanboy. There's a Compre 9.9, $160. Right? So Compre makes, what is it? Is it an extra heavy on that one? 9.9, it's not even on the chart right now. So Compre has a 9 foot nine extra heavy TJ. What does TJ mean, Jay?
In the Compres, I think that's telescoping.
Telescoping. So
I think that's their, yeah, I think that's instead of, yeah, I think so.
So yep. For $169.99, you can get a 9 foot nine. Now, why does that play for you? Well, guess what they stopped making, Jay? The 10 footer tournament.
Synchroid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guess who I know? The only person I know that needs a 10 foot rod is whom? Tim. Team. He's 6 foot 50. Right, he's gigantic. It's the biggest human. You show me a bigger human being than him in person outside of Shaq, and I'll eat my
shit. I was
shit.
Just gonna say Shaq.
Right.
Okay.
My buddy Team, freaking, my thighs are his biceps are literally the size of my thighs, dude. He's a freaking monster of a human being, and the only dude I can pick me up with one hand by the pants. He's huge. And that's happened in bars in Canada. It's embarrassing, and I don't feel good about that. But
no, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, it's kind of shameful. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, you know, he's really tall. 9'9", 10 foot. That's going to be on the docket for that price.
That's going to fit him good.
Yeah, freaking 9'9", 10 footer. That's why I like that. I'm going to give a fourth, Jay. I'm just going to sneak in here, right?
Sneak one in. Do it.
Nobody likes these. I've fished them. The frickin' Akuma. $159 for a 9.3. Now, Akuma has to do weird things. This is my opinion. This is not the opinion of the Muskie Shop. Akuma has to come in with 9'3". Okay? Like, just make it 9.6 or something else. But 9.3, right? So that would be my thing. Is like, I don't feel like when it comes to rods, flat out, dude, the sensitivity of a rod for musky fishing, I think, is a mute point. Depending on how you hold your reel, you're going to get that translating up your rod. I don't know, Jay. What's your top three reel rods? I know you're a Shield rod guy. So what's your number two, number three rods?
Like, yeah, the Shield, 9 foot heavy. I'm a 9 foot heavy guy for the Shield choice. If I was getting one,
right?
I was going to put in there. You already took it. The Akuma. I think they're about $160. I think for the 9.3 extra heavy.
Yeah,
and
that's the EVX. There's a B series, and they have the what's the Psycho stick.
Yeah, the EVX.
Oh, they have a 9.6. That's $259. Okay.
Yeah, no, the EVX. That's the series that's been out for years and years. They're proven.
Super affordable. Yeah.
They don't break. You know, you run it over with a truck. Yeah, you're probably going to have problems. But beyond that, fishing it, no new problems. Another great total sleeper rod is this 9.5 double extra heavy Daiwa Pro-Rex rod.
Whoa.
You haven't even seen those. Those are actually pretty darn nice, and they're only $179.
Really?
Well, so that's one.
Are they on the website yet?
Yeah, they're on the website.
I haven't seen it. I guess you said that. What?
So I mean, Shield, Kuma EVX, and the Daiwa Pro-Rex.
That's cool.
It's a sleeper. It's just a neat little rod. If you want a long, heavy rod, great casting platform for the heavier stuff, that's something to look at for not an arm and a leg.
I mean, I'll tell you flat out, I'm just not a prima donna when it comes to rods. I've never have been for years, and Jay can attest. Musky Innovations Bulldog Rods. $99. The crappiest ones you could get. That was it. I was like, well, whatever, you know. I fished them like crazy. So I like that. So the Pro Rex, again, these are opinions. Sorry. Okay. Next one. I'm compiling questions so they're in no specific order. I can't come up with three on this next one. Right.
Okay.
But it is, let me see, trolling accessory. Your top three trolling rod holders. I fish Folby. That's it. Right. I've had and learned from my experience or not, or say I'm an idiot. It's fine. Don't care. I like the Folbies. They're easy to get out of. Like, the biggest thing for me is when a fish hits, we pull the rod straight out vertically. We don't have to do anything. The same could be said for the down east salty ones, right? You pull straight up, the rod comes up. The problem I have with the metal, the galvanized rod holders, they're pretty abrasive on your reels, right? If you're pulling a headlock and you're going 4 miles an hour or 3.7 or whatever it might be, they can be kind of damaging. That's why I wrap my rods. If you guys have seen in the videos or I talk about it, I started wrapping my rods long before you could buy it at the Musky Shop, because me and Jody Michael brought that in, right? We said, we need to start doing this. We talked about it. If you remember, what, 2 years ago, Jay? Because people were asking. That was to protect my cork from dirty hands as well as trolling. The Folbies won't eat your cork alive. You know, it was funny. I had some really cool guys from Wisconsin on the boat today. We actually talked about rod holders for a minute. My problem with things outside of, can I run the down east now with a rod wrap? Absolutely. The Folbies are a little bit more modular, right? So I can pull them up. I don't have to clamp them on. So if like I want a Folby to be gone or out of my way, I just hit the button and it comes out. My commentary about anything else is when we're into November, December, January, February down here, or we're into November and December where you're at, Jay, right? Just a couple of days ago, southern Wisconsin, we were talking about when is something going to freeze up. You could be out there trolling right now if you wanted to. Cold temps and some of this ABS plastic stuff is problematic, right? So you want something that's not going to crack or give out or theoretically fail due to a tremendous amount of pressure, right? So I like the Folbies. I don't know exactly what their composition is. They seem to be not all plastic. There's something else going on inside there.
Yeah, they've got a magic formula, Steve. Right. They really do. That stuff is tough as nails. I've never heard of anyone cracking one.
No, not one. Yeah. And when I say they have give, do not think they bend. I'm talking a 50-inch muskie's gone. I'm doing 4 miles an hour, and they flex just enough that things are not getting funky.
Yes.
Right?
That's
not
important.
Not give, right. Like, eh. Right? Where when I've run galvanized holders, there's no give. That's my take. That is what it is. There's nothing wrong with down east. I'm going Folby number one, down east number two. I think anything outside of that is problematic due to the tensile strength of the plastic and cold temperatures. Jay, what is your take?
The exact same thing.
Yeah.
Can't beat a Folby. Get a Folby that matches your boat. I mean, I use on my little river boat, you know, I've got S10 salties. They're low profile. They're out of the way. And they clamp on if I want to take them off. It doesn't take long to unscrew them. But that's a good little system. And just because the Folbies will be a little bit higher, the little metal S10 Downy salties are awesome. They're a little clunky compared to the Folbies. The Frobies just, the cats meow. Those things are amazing. You can do anything with them. And adjustability factor is mm-hmm. a little bit better than the Downies too. There's other brands out there. You know, Scotties have been around a long time. I'm not a fan of those at all.
Again, Jay's opinion.
The Fulby's, yeah, the Fulby is a better product. It's a little bit more money, but it's tougher, more all adjustable.
Right. On to, again, if you're a manufacturer, a bunch of them listen. This is our opinion. I'm sorry. So, top three nets. We're probably going to be the same.
Okay.
Net.
Okay.
My number one choice. I have them all. And guys, I'll tell you this. It's funny. I'm looking at the real shelf, Jay.
The real shelf in the bait cave?
I have a shelf full of reels. There are at least 50 low-profile reels up there. I've owned them all, folks. I've broken them all. Net's the same. Well, we got six or seven nets over there. I like, number one, like the end all be all, the net I run 99% of the time anymore, Frable Power Catch. 8425 big game. Comfortable with it. That's my jam. If you're like Steve, you got to spend, you know, the rest of your life with one net. That's it. I've just ran that net for so long. Yes, the bag's slightly heavier than other stuff. Does the handle bend? No. Does the net rim bend? No. Do you get bag rips? No. Number one. Number two. And I say this because I run one of these. And the reason I run it is because I have other boats and smaller boats, which is the Stowmaster, the foldable net, right? That's a thinner bag and it folds up. You have to pay attention to the integrity of that netting, right? You catch a bunch of fish, it can rip. Remember that? Oh, no, clip. My friend Tim again, right?
Yep.
Lost a big fish out of that. But it's a great net. You have to be responsible for the integrity of that bag, right? Next one I'm going to go with is going to be the clam, right? If I am in Canada and I'm going for Donkey Kong or I need a big target, I don't mind the clam net. It's not a net I want to net with solo so much anymore. The older I get, the heavier it gets, right? So my top three is the Power Catch, then the Stowmaster, then the clam. Jay, what do you think?
Drifter Lightweight Predator.
Yeah.
Number one. Wet,
yeah. You like that? I know you like that.
Yeah, they're patterned after the old Beckmans, and I've also got, that's the first great net that I bought back in the day was a, can't remember what they called, but it was a Beckman. Anyway, Drifter kind of picked up that pattern, and they've got the similar kind of like flat bottom, but lighter tight side. Anyway, the thing's got low drag going through the water. It's simple to engage. It's just, and it's not a very price point wise. It's affordable. They're like $169.
Yeah.
So, that's my number one choice. Fishing alone. Hey, gets the job done. The low drag thing is important. I also like the foldable Stowmasters. I've got a small, I don't have a musky size Stowmaster, but I've got a smaller one for, you know, it's more like a, you know, bass, little pike kind of thing. And but the musky size ones, there's, you mentioned the Stowmaster with the light bag. They've got one with a heavy bag. It's a 94, no, 116 size. They've got kind of every net manufacturer has the weirdest like way to describe their nets in the Stowmasters,
like Akuma rods, 93.14.
Not exactly. More like, you know, the 116Y. That is the that's the super huge one. That the 94, it must be again something in the metric system. I don't know what 94 stands for, but it's still definitely a musky size net.
I like it.
Okay. These things fold. They're extremely tough. They never fail. So, but there are heavy net options on those, and those are excellent nets.
Let's keep.
And I also like the new clam too. The big Colossus, because they went away from the circular net and they've got a more teardrop. original style with that. And that move was cool. And that's a good net. I have fished with those too.
All right, keep rocking here, because there's a mm-hmm. ton of these things here. And then, guys, like I said, we're trying to cover as much ground as possible. These are opinions.
And in the time frame provided, which there is a time limit, you know, Steve.
4 days long, most podcasts. Your favorite lines. Ugh.
Oh, that's so easy. It's almost illegal.
Well, I know what mine will be here. I've been fishing something that's a top secret project for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. So I will, until the top secret project is out.
Okay. You're going to have to go with your second choice.
Second choice.
Go ahead.
Right now is J-Braid.
J-Braid. Okay.
Yep. Old Tube Screamer turned me onto that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to knock anything, but, you know, I've had problems with two of the major lines, and I fish a lot of line. I am religious. The one thing I'll say is this. You get on my boat, you will not go, wow, that line's old. I change that stuff out religiously because the last thing was a terminal tackle failure. So I've had a little bit of a kerfuffle with a couple of those. So right now, I'm going to go with super secret project line that I've tested for a year, and you've been on my boat. You know what you're talking about. Everybody else mm-hmm. will find out soon. J-Braid and then Beast.
Beast Braid, yeah.
I've not had, you know, let me, oh, he's a Joe Booker fanboy. Break it. Tell me all about it. Right? It's a coarse line, but you ain't going to break it. What do you think, Jay? What are your top three lines?
Well, I avoid any line that starts with the name Jay. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of J-Braid.
Oh,
I do like the Booker Beast Braid. But number one for me, without question, Cortland Master Braid, 80 pound.
Man.
Unbelievable. I love it. Never had a problem with that.
Fanboy. 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 All right.
Mm-hmm. What?
I said you're a fanboy. He loves Cortland. Yeah. Troll,
no, good
troll
stuff.
Wet it. See how wet it gets, Jay. That's my opinion. When inches matter. Sorry. I'm a warm mm-hmm. Yeah, man. We're going to get in trouble for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. Top three bucktails.
Ooh, oh, boy.
You
okay.
can name my number one.
Number one bucktail. I'm going to list your three choices. You list mine, okay?
Fair enough.
And if I'm way off base, you're going to have to correct me after school.
Okay.
All righty.
Number
Steve's
one.
He's going to go with number one, and it's not an inline.
Mm-mm.
It's a tandem spinnerbeak because of the versatility. Versatility. And that's Steve's Meat Grinder by Finger Eight Lure Company.
What is this? There's a spinnerbeak. This is your inlines.
Okay.
These are inlines.
You are talking inlines? Oh, without question, then you're going with the Meps Giant Killer.
No.
No, close. Just tell me yours then. Go ahead.
Meps Musky Flashaboo.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, I thought you would nail that. You go, well, why?
Okay. Yeah, you like the double eight. You like the double eight.
Double eight, Meps Musky mm-hmm. Flashaboo. And you go, why do you like that? Because it's modular.
Because you can slow it down.
Well,
it's modular.
They start absolutely. Every time.
You don't even have to start reeling with those. It's sick.
That is my biggest thing as a guide for years. I go, I see people that, like, I'll put them on their rods and they'll try to kickstart them because they're so conditioned. It's like Pavlov's dog. I have to kickstart them.
Right.
The Meps Musky Flashaboo, the blades are so freaking thin, they start every time. Now, it's a shallow running thing, but they're modular, so there's a split ring in the middle. So if I need to get them deeper, I put a bell sinker on that split ring. And they allow me to do everything I need to do. So we're going to run them shallow. Cool. We're going to burn them slightly deeper. Cool. I just have a bag of split ring, or excuse me, a bag of bell sinkers on hand. And it's a split ring right there in the center already. And I tweak them out. My complaint about those, they come with a freaking four rod on the back. And I put sevens on every single one of them. I have to heat shrink every single one of them. So when I take them out of the pack, it's a job right off the rip, right? Just is what it is. People at Meps don't get mad, my opinion. So I like how modular they are. And often, it's funny, I'll take the blades off the front of those with a quick with my, what is it, Zenron or whatever it is. Zeron, whatever. Rip those off and I'll put them on the front of a bulldog or a jig or a tube or whatever. Now I have double eights in front of anything I need. And then I just put them back on when I'm done. Right.
Yep.
So I don't have to make this like this front loaded harness, but put a seven on them and your money. And now you can put whatever weighting you want on the split ring. And it's like, I need shallow, mid, deep. I'm in there on one set. In lines.
Yep.
Super unpopular. Nobody loves them as much as I do. It's the freaking mag bookers. If you want to see Donkey Kong, and I'm not talking in Minocqua, I'm saying in Canada, throw some mag bookers.
Oh, the mag chinsel tail, oh, the one with God. The biggest blades.
They freaking,
it is, I know, like what you're talking about.
Pulling a boat back to the... They pull.
Yeah, they're not mag 10 blades. They're just a mag fluted blade.
They're mag
fluted. God knows what size. Probably like, a mag 10.
They're mag 10s is what they call them, but they pull like crazy.
Well, fluted blades pull hard, yeah,
right.
For sure.
So that is going to be my number two of like, okay, super confident. I'm going stock. I make most, other than my musky flash booze, I make most of my own stuff off RJ's. And I was trying to think about.
Yeah, you like the D8.
I like the D8.
Yeah, the double eight.
Okay, yep. So I've done that trick a bunch of times in bad conditions up north. Me, you, Krieger, Tube Screamer, everybody's throwing blades, and we're on three-legs chains. Guess what you do on three-legs chains? You throw blades in top water. It's high, bright sun. Blades in. It doesn't matter. There's a billion fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slow roll RJs, you'll tag them in no matter what's going on.
Yep.
And there used to be, I have no clue how old this is. I just remember there used to be that bucktail called the Abyss, which was forward weighted. RJs are forward weighted, and so they run slightly deeper. They've got blade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it sort of reminded me of that. The skirt material on all those that I've seen thus far is hair. So it's not a shallow running bucktail. I'm not going to grab a RJ's double 10 to burn. I'm going to grab them to slow roll. That would be my top three. Jay, what are your top three bucktails?
Quickly list your top three again, because I haven't been listening.
Meps. Right?
Meps 88 Flashaboo. Yep.
The Magbooks.
Magbooker tail.
And RJ's.
And the RJD8. Which, that's a, I, the that's very cool.
I think the only one you fish is the RJ.
I like them, but here's mine.
No one cares.
Actually, I'm going Meps single Flashaboo. Could slow it down even more. That's just something I've caught fish on, and I use a lot, and I used a lot this year, too. The Booker 700.
Did you change the hooks on that one?
On the Meps?
Yeah.
I have, but it's not like a prerequisite with me. Like you said, they might be underhooked a size or two. You go up three sizes. Yeah. But if I'm in heavy weeds and that's when I break that thing out,
fair enough.
I run it stock.
Small fish.
Anyway,
Jake catches small fish.
Yeah, I almost have to go five here. Okay, quickly. Okay, we just did the MEP single. Well, what's going to be my new go to is the Musky Frenzy IC7. Got a chance to throw that a couple weeks ago before the lakes froze up and all that, and it got too cold to be outside, and that thing is a bad boy, and it's caught a lot of fish. And okay, the RJs. Yeah, we discovered that RJ French tail.
Yeah,
and
actually,
I don't want to take away from Meps, because Meps are awesome. The Meps Musky Killer is something I got several of, but this is just in line with that. It's almost the same weight. It's just a small number five French tail, beautiful hair, tie job.
Beautiful hair.
RJ just makes fantastic quality baits. They're tough. Yeah, you can catch mega fish on it, or mega number of fish, and you know, you don't have to worry about the thing getting all bent up and out of tune. So yeah, it's good. So I got the RJ French. We've got the single Meps Flashaboo Booker 700 and the IC7 Musky Frenzy.
Fair enough. You know, everything else, though, I'll say this. I don't think you can build a better Willow Leaf or French Blade. I like the RJs. But if you're going to make your own, just buy freaking Muskegor or RJs, everything else. And I think that's probably one of the next master classes. We'll probably have to do a video on the app about just building bucktails. I want to talk about that. It needs to be done, right?
Okay.
If you can dream it, you can make it. And we will show you how here shortly.
Yep.
Top three glide
baits. What's next, Steve?
Glide baits?
Okay.
Oh, man. I'm pulling up the shop. I know what my number one is.
Yep.
It just is what it is. Which is, I don't even think we have them. So nobody will like when I say this. The old Chum Chums. Old ones.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-chaos. Can't lie. Number one. Number two. Something super unpopular. River Run Mantis. Nobody loves them. I love them. All right. Number three, Phantom 6-inch Softail. Mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer. I like Lynchums. There's some custom ones I like. I like my Hot Tails now. I like my Hot Tails, and I love what Anthony makes. I like those in the cold water period for me. They run deeper. They get down where I want to be. But original David French Shum Shums, can't beat them. Manta, 6-inch fan. I've caught more freaking fish on 6-inch Phantoms than I care to admit. I'll keep that one easy. Jay, okay. What are yours?
Yeah. Without question, Smitty Mercer Creek, the smaller of the two size. I think it's like a 6-inch bait. It's a glide bait, and it's got roll, but it's got less perfect side to side. I want something a little bit more erratic.
Mm-hmm.
Take an original Smitty Jerk bait, which they've
kind of funky
lately named. Yeah, you know. Is it dive rise? Is it a little bit of glide? Is it erratic? Yeah. Yeah. It's all three. And they catch fish because of it. So obviously Hellhounds are great, but Hellhounds and Mantas have that perfect glide. And I want something a little bit more erratic that's unpredictable. So Smitty Mercer Creek, Small Warlock. That's a zinger dinger kind of deal.
True.
And Mantas are great too. But I got to put a Phantom in there.
All right.
I got to put a Phantom Softail as well.
Well, that was like seven, but I like it.
Those three.
Top three spinner baits. Okay.
Spinner baits. Okay.
So everybody knows what my number one is. I'll tell you why it's my number one. Because I tried to tweak a Slopmaster and a Dick Pearson's grinder. So Steve's weed grinder is 25 years plus on the water nonstop, tweaking those two baits to do what I want them to do, and that is Steve's meat grinder. Pull it through anything. I've got more emails this year about that bait than just about anything. Hey, it comes through most everything. That's the deal with that bait. Super simple. Okay. So it's going to be a meat grinder, slop master, Dick Pearson's grinder. Jay, your top three spinner baits.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Steve's meat grinder, number one.
Yeah, threw that this year. Trolled it this year, too. Yeah, they're cool. They're cool, but everyday casting kind of deal. I like the Ace Baits original.
Mm-hmm.
The price is great. These things are about as low-priced of a full-size musky lure as you can find. They got rubber and some flashaboo tied in the skirt. So they breathe great, and it's an interchangeable platform. It's really easy to change blades. You know, they all come right with like a willow, you know, bam, snip, slip, put on a Colorado blade, get a completely different action and running depth on it. Many, not all, but many baits, you know, all the figure eight stuff, same way. The Boss is great by Figure Eight. That's a double willow blade, all-purpose deal that, you know, you can control the depth on that real good. So nice helicoptering action and the Rad Dogs.
Fair enough.
And I'm not going original. I'm going deep because
nasty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The originals are extremely light and they run a little high for me. I want something that you know.
Now that Rad Dog, I mean, it's like
Deep Rad Dog single.
It's like Matafed. When you modify a spinnerbait, mm-hmm. that's where they mm-hmm. run. That's a cool bait to have.
Yeah.
All right. For more of you Christmas shoppers, top three rubber baits.
Rubber baits. Ooh.
For me, I don't need three. I need two.
Ooh.
Which is standard. Well, not standard, but whatever, like Magnum Alpha Dog. That, right? And a tube. That's it. I don't care what color. Give me an Alpha Dog and a tube. I don't throw much more than that. I don't mind Medusas. I'm not going to go down the swim bait rabbit hole, but I'm definitely Bulldogs and tubes when it comes to rubber Jaycifer.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I like tubes too. And the tube choice would be a 10-inch mid version for versatility. And that's about all I'm going to run. When the Kraken comes out, because I do have a prototype Kraken, I got one of the very first prototypes hand painted by Steve Paul in your garage. You said, yeah. Do you like walleye? Here, I'm gonna paint one like a walleye. It looks like nothing like a walleye. Thank folks. You, okay. Bob.
The production ones do.
But that thing is beautiful and it's got hardly any paint left. It catches fish. Oh my gosh.
We didn't lose anything, even the pike that we're hitting.
Nah. So it was beautiful.
We cracked two on the Kraken today. I was going straight rubber, didn't want to talk about my own stuff, but I mean, for me, it's going to be, I just like a standard Alpha Dog. Like, it sort of gets it all done for me. We're running
throwing one more rubber choice in there for a third one would be a Musky Innovations regular size shallow swimming dog. Well, those things are cool. Swim baits,
but fair enough.
It's rubber.
Top three cranks. Okay, so everybody's asking everyone's
crankbaits.
Yeah, cranks.
Okay.
Oof. Oh man, easy for me. I can just prattle this off. Okay. In 3 seconds. Crane 207.
Boom.
Right. Five-inch shallow raider,
mm-hmm.
Shallow invader, easy.
Okay, I said no rubber.
Well, it's freaking the shallow invader's a hybrid bait, sort of like the Kraken is.
I'm messing with you, man.
What's your top three?
Slammer Fatty Minnow, 6-inch Slammer Fatty Minnow. That's the newest thing he's got out because that thing is cool and it catches fish. The Big Fork Avatar, because it's a mid-depth deal, and it's flat-sided, and it's got an amazing wobble. Go ahead, stall, Steve. I'm trying to think what the third choice would be.
I don't know. I can't pick for you.
It's not going to be a trolling situation. It's going to be more of a deep situation. I guess I would probably go with a straight Booker depth raider. I've got some beauties.
I mean, if we're talking crank. I mean, if it's like trolling cranks, that's a whole other answer. I was just thinking casting cranks.
Don't go down that whole rabbit hole. Joe Booker's gone over that many, many times about the versatility of a deep diving crankbait in shallow situations.
True that.
You can rip it through cover. And so it's half jerkbait, half crankbait, and it's a deep diver if you want it. So they're great.
And your top three topwaters, easy for me, flat out.
Okay.
Top Raider, Fat Bastard, Post Giant Jackpot, no question.
Okay.
Took me 2 seconds. What do you want?
Husky Hog Wobbler. There's a slow crawling action.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah, you never seen that thing just destroy fish because you never try it.
Hog Wobbler. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at big ones and small ones. You act like I've never caught a Hog Wobbler fish. Son, I invented Hog Wobbler fishing.
America. Okay. Well, you know what's not going to be on the list, and that's going to be anything that's considered a flap tail.
True.
On my list. So yeah, top raiders are great. That would be, I guess that, yeah, if I'm breaking out a tail bait, it's going to be a top raider. If I'm bringing out a slow blade bait, it's going to be a Husky Hog Wobbler. And if I want something subtle, I'd go with something like a Cisco Kid topper.
Nah, weird.
Subtle and slow, little twitches and downsize.
Much like everyone says about Jay, subtle and slow. Oh, cruel. Sorry. There's people actually about... I'm not even answering Diving Rise. That's too loaded. Okay. I like this. top three musky baits that are not musky baits.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, here okay. we go. For me, Alabama rigs.
Okay. Easy,
right? So the musky Bama will be back at some time. That's a whole other kerfuffle. My friend Ben is dealing with some stuff, so we'll try to get those back. But Alabama rigs, it's primarily a bass rig. It works for very negative neutral muskies. And it doesn't matter, I don't think, per se, the brand, but there is like this Kevin Van Dam deep crank, and Livingston has one, these big 3-4 inch deep shad bellied crankbaits, right? That on the cast are going to achieve 15, 20 feet on thin line. So on 80 pound line with a low rod angle, you can just grind them deep. So like the KVD or the Livingston, it's called the Livingston Howard Deep. There's an old KVD one I used to run. Money, right? Number two. Number three, as far as bass / musky baits that I will actually fish, which is ridiculous, is big swim jigs.
Mm-hmm.
So in the early part of the year, I will fish the biggest bass swim jigs I can get and put big old trailers on them and fish it like you'd fish for bass with swim jigs, stand-up jigs, and just pop them, right? So it's kind of like this same thing I'm doing with the tube, but a much smaller delivery, much smaller package for shallow water. Jay, what are your top three musky baits that are not musky baits?
Rapala, Husky Jerk 14 size.
Yeah, that's
about a good 5.5 inch suspending minnow bait. Deadly, deadly, deadly early. 1/2 ounce bass spinner baits, doesn't matter the brand. 1/2 ounce head, Willow combination, Colorado, whatever. They both have their points and different types of applications. Small whopper, like a whopper plopper, river to sea, 130,
yeah,
90 size, guys, just yeah. downsize. I know you do well late in the season on them, but around here that would be an early season choice and a good one.
I agree with that. That's not a bait that's... That's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, a lot of that stuff, too. I'll say this. You're going to fish baits that are not intended for muskies, a lighter drag and a thumb being ready to set the hook and then sort of play them lights recommended. And I'm, again, these are all amalgams of a ton of questions we've gotten in the last month. But I like this one the best, and a couple people asked something along this lines.
Okay.
Favorite odd baits. So your top three baits that are weird, but oh, you still like them. For me, and I'm going to go way back in the way back box, reef hogs. I keep one in the boat. I hate to admit it. I don't break it out, not even every month. But a reef hog is near and dear to my heart, right? That's going to be playing, right? Wade's Wobbler. Keep one in the boat. Again, near and dear to the heart. Weird bait. It wasn't weird back in the day, but it's kind of like a right? Wade's Wobbler. What are we doing with this? It looks like a piece of 1x1 cut at an angle. Caught a bunch of fish on it. Oh goodness! And another weird bait. I'm looking at the bait cave. I'm trying to think of a bait that's like something I'd actually throw. Oh, it's been a while, but Grim Reaper Sickle. That's a weird
Yeah, kind of like a banana bait, Gooch's banana bait,
but it's
right?
a curved dive and rise bait.
Yeah, it's curved dive and rise, yeah.
It's a funky bait, but man, have I caught fish on that thing. And okay. It's not a highly popular bait, but like oddball baits are like kind of near and dear, you know. Maybe a honorable mention would be the high fin double kick. The top kick has one, or is it double top kick? The one with two.
I'm not sure.
It's a top kick with two props. Third place is a
twin teaser tail.
Teaser tail. There it is.
Yeah.
So it's either the sickle, which is like, don't even try it. If you're like, what bait is that? You're like, you're gonna hate it. But the year is 1996, and I loved it. Right. So those are near and dear to my heart in a weird way. Jay, please say sloppy pig. Please, for the love of God, Jason.
Nope, that's not on the list.
Is Tom bringing back Tom Rudess is single-handedly bringing back the sloppy pig. If you know what that is, call Tom.
He's bringing back. Yeah, he's bringing back a lot of things.
He has spent $700,000 to bring back the sloppy pig.
Make it happen, Tom.
We believe in you, buddy. Yeah. What's your top three like weird baits? It doesn't have to be weird or odd, but what are the baits like nobody loves? This should be the three island of misfit toys.
Dick Rise. Smitty kind of picked him up now. It's like he calls it the Striker. It was a Dick Rise Striker. And
Striker.
That was my first. That's kind of a glide bait, I guess I'd consider that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, kind of dear to my heart. That was like the first true jerk bait that I caught a muskie on, them and Refogs. But yeah, that was a good one. God, Steve. Oh man. Trying to think here. Something. You're talking Odyssey. You laugh when you talk about the pigs, but I caught like a lot of fish on pigs, especially the piglets. Yeah.
Piglet.
They need to be weighted, but that was a good early season good thing about neutral, and that thing was really good. God, there was one other thing I was just thinking of. I can't remember.
That's more than three, so we don't care.
Okay. Well,
we don't care. No. Well, hey, that's funny because I'm looking at the wall of the bait cave, and there's so much like weirdo stuff of like, what the heck is that, right? But
I got one other one, Steve.
What's that?
Got one other crazy one. Anything by B.S. Willie.
B.S. Willie. That was Jay's.
Yeah, he made some cool topwater stuff back in the day. That's really cool. Crazy stuff.
That's Jay's Tinder name.
Yep.
B.S. Willie. Look him up in the Northwoods. Folks, I hope that covers the litany of gear questions we've got here as of late. So that's just our opinion. If you don't like it, don't buy it. None of it is endorsed. It is just legitimately what we think, and sometimes that's painful for people that don't agree. Anyway, freaking sick of it. Anyway, Jay Bird, say goodnight.
Good night, guys.